This is David Mayo, and you're listening to Bobcat Radio on 89.9 KTSW.
And we're back here on Bobcat Radio. Man, double the fun there by David Mayo, as they're about to probably get started on OTAs. I know Craig Mager last week threw out the first pitch of the Padres game, which was stated on Twitter, or was shown on Twitter. I still have yet to see how the pitch was. I haven't seen video for the pitch, but I knew he threw out the first pitch at the Padres game last week. But going back in here, Bobcat Radio, Warren Shore, Trevor Sarden, and Bethany Perales here. Track and field, their last two, they had actually in four events. But we'll start off with Annika Newell, who was a second-team All-American in the pole vault. She finished 15th. She jumped a height of 13.3 feet, which is 4.3 meters.
And very high.
Yeah, very high. And her goal, she said she wanted to be an All-American before the season, and she accomplished her goal of being a second-team All-American. And she, I was reading some articles on her, and she really recommitted this year to field, got her mind right, and it paid off.
Yeah, I mean, she did a good job, jumped really high, and I mean, the thing is, she set a goal for herself, and then she achieved that goal. I mean, a second-team All-American is really insane and almost, I mean, very incredible. And especially, I think, that the fact that she set that goal for herself and that she achieved that goal. I mean, she didn't set it too high, but she set it at a reasonable mark where she felt that she could do it, and she worked hard enough
and accomplished it.
And accomplished that goal. I mean, to the second-team All-American, I mean, what more can you say about that? That's second best in the country.
I'm still amazed at 13 feet. I can only imagine. I mean, to do pole vault in general, it's a tough sport. It's really technique. It's very focused kind of a sport. So for her to say she can do 13 and she got All-American also in completing her goal, that's amazing. And she's only a junior, correct? So she still has one more year to do another good year. So, she's a senior. Okay.
She's going out.
Well,
she's going out
with the bang. Yeah, she went out with the bang. Exactly.
That's awesome.
So, that's great. I can only imagine, you know, jumping a pole 13 feet high. Yeah. I'm not scared of heights, but I mean, I can only imagine.
No,
that's pretty hard.
That's up there. So, definitely. She did finish where she wanted to. So, hats off to her. And then we're going to talk about Allie Saunders.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about her because she is just one of the best that Texas State has ever seen in the track program. She finished 10th in her long jump with the second best jump ever at 6.32 meters. Senior going out with a bang, going out second team All-American in the long jump. So she did good with that, and I'll let you know how she did in the... She did even better in the triple jump. We'll get that in just a second. But what do you have to say about her getting the second team in the long jump?
When I think of Saunders, I think of... She's like the face of track. When I think of track, Texas State, I think of her, just because she's done so many big accomplishments since she's been here. And so when I picture track and when we talk about track and field, I always think about Allie Saunders and what she's going to do for us to accomplish more and improve herself in the league.
I mean, so many records set by her. I mean, almost we got so many jump records, so many long jumps, so many triple jump records, and she's just writing the record books for Texas State, and she has to be drawing so much attention for new recruits coming in. Head coach Dana Boone and staff doing a great job of getting the track team out on the map. I'll give you her. She jumped on Saturday. She was doing her triple jump, which her coaches thought that she would do best in because she was a little fired up after not making first team on the long jump. But she headed in to the triple jump, jumped 13.25 meters on her first attempt to finish 7th in the NCAA Outdoor Championships, earning her a spot on the first team NCAA All-American. So, you know, she's a senior also, so going out with a big bang, just because, I mean, everything that she's done, that's a pretty fitting end to her her career, I would say, as a Texas State Bobcat, for sure.
No, she did amazing, and again, like we said, two-time All-American, you can't be mad at that, leaving Texas State, going out with a great ending of senior year.
Definitely, and we already talked about the 4x400 relay team. They did finish 17th. That was one out of the second-team All-American spot. So, don't think you can necessarily be too disappointed with their finish. But, as Warren said, three juniors, one freshman coming back. They look like they should be poised for an even better year next year.
Yeah, gaining experience, putting something under their belt, knowing what they have to do during the season to get to where they want again to be next year. So,
doing a great job, the track team is. And let's take a, we're going to talk about next, let's talk a little bit about the rule changes in basketball. We're going to touch on that briefly as we just finish up talking about the Texas State track team doing a good job of putting us on the map in Eugene, Oregon at the NCAA championships. Let's talk a little bit about NCAA rule changes for basketball. I know Warren talked to Coach Casper and women's head coach, and we're going to, about that, and Casper being a defensive coach, he seemed to, I don't know if he necessarily, some of the things that he was talking about, because he was, I mean, the 35 seconds dropping down to the 30 seconds, I mean, for a defensive-minded coach, only having his team having to play 30 seconds of defense, I mean, that has to be...
We are interrupting this broadcast to bring you Texas State basketball.
That has to be good for them, because his defense doesn't have to get tired as often. Only has to be out there, play 30 seconds of hard defense rather than 35. I mean, so that's one of the major... I know a lot of coaches were talking about that in the offseason, how they wanted to get that change, because 35 seconds was starting to drag on a little bit, starting to get a little too lengthy. And they just wanted to speed up the pace of play. I know that a lot of the coaches agreed on that, and that was probably one of the biggest changes that the NCAA made in the offseason.
Hopefully it'll be like a positive aspect for them. Like you said, the defense won't be so tired. And going back to this past season, we saw them kind of get tired out in the middle of the season. So maybe this will help us not only produce a longer season of good games, good solid games. So hopefully this will be a good thing, not a bad thing to hurt us in the end.
Yeah, when I talked to Casper, he just kept reiterating that these are rules kind of helping up more offense and to help...
offensive opportunities.
Well, yeah, it's all you want more...
That's what the viewers want to
see. Yeah, you want entertainment.
Yeah.
One of the biggest rules in both men's and women's is actually going to be that the coaches cannot call timeouts anymore. I think that's the biggest thing that both coaches are kind of hesitant on, how they're not going to be able to call timeouts. They're going to have the players call timeout. They can yell, hey, call timeout.
They can signal it.
No, but signal it for one of their players to call, but they cannot call timeouts anymore. And another thing in the men's game, that's changing is the restricted area is not 3 feet anymore, it's 4 feet. So the players have to come out more to take charges. So like that, but this is they're trying to open up the game, and they took away a timeout, from the coaches, and now they took away, like, the first timeout under 16 will be the media timeout. Like, the media timeouts are getting, because the media timeouts are at 16, 12, 8, and 4. That's four timeouts already built in. So now, the timeout, if you take it at 15:59, will now just be the media timeout. So you'll lose a timeout, but that's a media timeout. So they'll do that. And then another thing they're trying to, they can go to video if you flop in the men's game, which...
That could be interesting.
Yeah, it could be interesting what people consider a flop. Definitely if you go arms flailing and you start flopping away.
Imagine if it did in the NBA. That'd be really
Yeah,
wrong.
But still, I still think there's room to grow. I think the shot clock, maybe move it down a couple more. I'm not saying 24, maybe like 27, 28.
We just got to see how everything works.
Yeah.
I mean, they did do experimental in the NIT and stuff like that, but with the whole season, with the new rule changes, is really going to be the test.
Yeah.
And I think I want to go back to what you were talking about with the timeouts, the coaches not being able to call the timeouts. I think that's when you really have to make sure that you have senior leadership and players on your team that understand the game and understand that, hey, my coach isn't going to be able to call a timeout for me when I'm in trouble, or when I think that, or if the other team's going on a run, we're not going to be able to. He's not going to be able to call a timeout for us and kind of slow it down. So that's when you have to look for your leadership on your team, and your players have to step up and say, okay, we're kind of struggling right now. Let me call a timeout. Let me be the senior leader and try to regroup. And it'll be interesting to see because, and hopefully just the less timeouts, I mean, that will speed up the pace of play. I know
the end of games can take the ends, the
20,
last
30 minutes,
the last minute 30 can just ruin a great game. You're sitting there forever.
Yeah. I think it'll show better communication though. Also, besides leadership, I think it's going to show communication between the whole team plus the coach. Because if people are not seeing signaling, hey, you need timeout, everyone can also see it, and then it won't be just a leadership attribute. It'll be more of a communication as a team in the coaching staff.
Yeah, no, you just have to. You got to have guys that are smart basketball players. Mm-hmm. Basketball IQ is going to need to go up. But now going to the women's game, I love what the women have done here.
10 minutes.
First of all, the 20-minute halves. Men's basketball is the only game in the world that plays with 20-minute halves, so they're still behind. And this is what Coach Z mentioned, that the men's game is always behind the women's game in adding these rules. So maybe we'll see this from the men's game. But so now they move to 4 quarters, 10-minute. Quarters, so you can maybe play some bench game here. You can changes it all up. The timeout is taken away, but in a quarter, if you commit 5 fouls, it's a straight 2-shot foul, no 1-on-1 or anything like that. So if you commit 5 fouls, you're in the bonus, 2 shots. Also, 10-second rule, you could call a timeout at like 8 seconds in the backcourt, and then you would get a new 10 seconds. Now you still have 2 seconds, however many seconds left to go. So that will help teams press teams. I think you're going to see a lot more teams press. Then at the end of games, under a minute, you call timeout. You can move it to the front court, which is, you see that in the NBA a lot, which is something I don't understand why college hasn't been doing that for a long time. Just makes the game more exciting. Someone made a hoop with 3 seconds left. You knew you had to make a half-court shot to have any hope, and there really wasn't anything. Now you get, just breaks out a lot of coaching strategy at the end of the games more. Those were the major changes. And then also coaches can't call timeout. And then they said players can now like have the elbow in the back, like when they're playing a post defense and like that. Just a couple of rules like that. But I think I love what the women's get of these rules, especially the 10 seconds and the changing, allowing call a timeout under a minute in the second half, move it up to the front court. Those are my two favorites.
You know, I just think that the 4 quarters is is really something that the men's game is going to have to do at some point in the next couple of years. Is, like you said, every game of basketball around the world, and now the women's game is starting to do it. It's a little bit more fun and adds a bit more strategy to the game, because you can sit players and you can, you know, strategize to better win the game and put your team in a better position. And the 5 fouls, I think, is pretty cool, too, because you really have to play solid defense. And if you do hit those 5 fouls, you don't kind of catch a break with the 1-on-1. It's just automatic 2 shots, you know. So it's going to really prevent a lot of fouls.
That's per quarter, though. It's not.
Well, but still, I mean, hopefully it will prevent a lot of fouls because, I mean, fouls just in general just slow down the game.
I personally like the 10-minute for the women's game. I think it's really interesting, especially with our team. My question is, I wonder how they're going to worry about fouls, like you were saying, but also like making sure everyone understands the rules, because I would hate for them, like, since it's so new, they have time to, you know, understand the rules, but when season starts, I hope they don't have silly mistakes because of these new rules changes.
So. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, they're going to grind these rules into their heads. The one rule she was not a fan of is the pep bands, or you can play music during inbounds plays, which is the only rule that Coach Z was hesitant on, because that ruins communication. It's kind of hard. I mean, if the pep band's belting out the fight song or some song that they have ready to go or something, it's
distracting.
Distracting to get it in on 5 seconds. And maybe the coach right there is yelling 5 seconds, call timeout. She can't call timeout. How that's going to be. And also, they took away a timeout, so they have 4 timeouts per half, I think. Definitely interesting. I like, and they have plenty of time. The one thing is going to be the fans are going to need to have to know the rules, because I know probably a bunch of fans that don't read about the rule change or anything. Like, they're going to show up to the first game. And they're going to throw 10 minutes on the clock and
be confused.
And they're going to be confused. Why are we playing? What happened here? So educating the fans is going to be almost as important as educating the players. But I mean, they'll both have the.
Give time.
Yeah, no, the players will definitely be ready to go, and they'll. I bet they'll probably take like quizzes Yeah. Or, I mean, I assume they'll have, like, quizzes or something like
that.
I
mean, just starting the scrimmage with the new rules. And, yeah. I mean, that's just going to help just kind of get it into your mm-hmm. mind, imprint it into your mind. It's just because you've been playing the game, the previous way for a really long time. So you really got to pound it in. Just a lot of repetition is really what's going to do it for them. Just scrimmage a lot. Play against your team and use those new rules so you can implement them and apply them in real game situations.
Yeah, and then there's a couple that are still being still tweaked, I guess, possible tweakage to the women's game. It's timeouts. You have 4 timeouts, 3 30 seconds and a 60 second, maybe 2 60s and 2 30s. And just a couple of other things. In the last 2 minutes of the game, officials can determine a shot clock violation by going to video, maybe. Or so just a couple small things there for the women's game. But all in all, I think these will help the game. I know the men's game will help pick up pace of play, and then it will be something new that we'll see in the women's game with the 4 quarters and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say, going back to the men's rule change real quick.
You can now dunk in pregame layup line.
You can dunk in pregame warm-ups, which is cool. It'll hopefully get more fans there early, potentially. But I know you and me talked about this, Warren. The 5 seconds closely guarded rule, they're eliminating that.
Yes.
So I think it's just silly almost. It just seems silly that would be a rule, a foul for just somebody guarding you for 5 straight seconds, and we see that in the NBA, people can guard anyone for as long as they want, which is nice. So I think that change is going to be pretty nice, hopefully.
They never call that 5-second call anyways. There was one time it was called. That was a Kent State Duke game like 8-9 years ago when Kent was trying to win at Duke. I remember because I was watching the game, and they were like tied, and they called. It was like 4.3 seconds. I think we went back on the DVR and clocked it. But yeah, that's like the only time I've ever seen a 5-second call.
Still the concept, because if somebody's on you, you feel the need that you have to pass or you have to dribble out of it or something, but instead of just being able to sit there.
Yep. Yes. All right, so before we take our break here and talk NBA Finals...